Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
The Miami Herald article was a train wreck. That was not a site that we were involved in the Keys. What that was one of the South Florida hospital systems went to this community, vaccinated a bunch of seniors. I think that's great. I want seniors to get shots. I think they did a good job doing that. We just weren't involved with it in any way, shape, or form. And the initial few 3 or 4 weeks, as you remember, the hospitals were getting the lion's share of the vaccine. We had nursing homes. We had hospitals. Some of the county health departments started to get them at the end of December, but you really didn't see the big push even in the counties until January. So that was something that one of the systems went. They went on site. They did 1,000, 2,000, however many seniors. And my view is if you're 65 and up, I'm not worried about your income bracket. I'm worried about your age bracket, because it's the age, not the income, that shows the risk. And so if they were able to go in a community that is heavily senior and vaccinate people, that's very, very good. But for that article to suggest that somehow that was one of our sites, that's just factually wrong. I think it was good that they did it. I support the hospitals doing that and really being proactive and trying to reach as many seniors as possible. But it was a really, really poorly executed hit piece. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to concoct, manufacture a narrative, but they don't have the facts to back it up. And that's a perfect example of that. So it was a major failure.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yeah.
Don't talk that.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust out with that broom. Get all that garbage outside. Or you don't go out Friday night. Yaggedy-yack.
Don't talk that.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio. On RadioCP.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. My name is Will Koontz. I'm the host. Anna Hummel will be joining us shortly. Beginning of that clip was Governor Ron DeSantis just catching all sorts of hell from corporate press. Of course, our local papers here, the Miami Herald and Tampa Bay Times. And he's like the former president a little bit, Donald Trump in a way, and they call him a what do they call him? Like a puppet, like a junior Trump guy. He kind of is a little bit. He's better, though. He can handle the media better. He slaps him around, and he's actually kind of coherent and does it in just a better way. It just sounds a little better. It sounds more professional. Ron does it. But he's catching a whole bunch of crap now. He's getting dinged for giving old people vaccines. And the problem is that these are rich people, and they might have a skin tone that may be a little bit lighter than what they would like. He's catching crap for giving old people vaccines in Key West because that's his voters. That's who. I don't know how they know that. Would they poll that? I'm sure they probably do vote more so towards that way, but they're also old, and they're the ones who need the vaccines. And I want to make an argument here that fats should also get the vaccine. They should be prioritized with old people to get the vax because they're the ones who are dying from this thing. Business Insider ran a chart where the COVID deaths are the highest, and they're all fat countries. There are countries like the UK and, of course, the United States. And this report that came out revealed that, yeah, about 2.2 million of the 2.5 million deaths from COVID were in countries with high levels of overweight people. And this report comes from the World Obesity Federation. I've never heard of that, but it kind of sounds like a wrestling outfit, and that sounds fun. Just fat wrestlers, that's all there would be. And that sounds like a hoot. Countries such as the UK, US, and Italy, where more than 50% of the adults are overweight, have the biggest populations of deaths linked to the coronavirus. The issue is not just obesity, but levels of weight that many assume are now normal. In many countries, death rates are 10 times higher in those where more than half of the adults had a BMI of more than 25 kilograms. Oh, this is The Guardian, by the way, so they're going to use their goofy metric system. People who are overweight should be given higher priority for vaccination. Oh, they're doing it too, because of their increased risk for death, says the World Obesity Federation. Now, you may say, well, they do it to themselves, and I agree. I agree with you. This is a problem, and it's something that we deal with here, and I guess they're dealing with it in Italy, too. I got all that good food. I didn't know Italy was fat, though. I kind of thought Europeans had it under control, and I thought it was because they didn't put all this high fructose corn syrup in their food, but I guess, you know, they're having an issue over there, and the UK is just giving up. You know, it's English breakfast and fish and chips, you know, every day, I assume, is what they're consuming. Lots of warm beer and fish and chips on the reg. That'll do it to you. And again, I keep saying this. I know it's a conspiracy, you know, and I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know this to be the case. It's kind of gotten some legs over the last year, where we're a year into this pandemic now, officially, when things got really real. And it seems like a good weapon to use against the West, who are all fats. And if they had any information that this has, you know, where there's not a lot of fats, basically everywhere else. And they were wondering why this wasn't catching on in places like Africa, for example. And they don't have food there, unfortunately. That sucks. But, I mean, they do. But there's a lot of poverty. That's what I mean. And there's a lot of, you know, feed the children type of stuff going on. They're not fat there. They're the opposite. And they're not really having these COVID deaths over there, you know. Mainly, I guess, potentially because of that fact that for whatever reason, this virus tends to go after people who are sick and fat and old. So Ron DeSantis is giving the old people, you know, they say he's looking at how they voted and he wants to keep his voters alive, which, man, that is the most uncharitable phrasing. And how do you prove that? I mean, because his rebuttal is, no, they're old and they're the ones who are dying. Well, I don't believe you. Well, okay. Where should we go from? Where do we go from here? Are we done here? Or I don't know what to tell you. So I don't know how you prove that thing. I heard Nikki Fried on Drew Garabo Live. I didn't hear, but I know she's calling for an investigation into Ron DeSantis's vaccination program. And we keep hearing about how bad we're doing here in Florida. I hear my friends say it. People I listen to, and I go, "Have you been outside? It's pretty good." I live here. You live here. What are you seeing that I'm not seeing? And I think it's just maybe your lenses that you're wearing over your eyeballs because you want to believe something. But people, You know, you look at the data, people are scrambling to get here to Florida, but CNN and other corporate outlets are saying that we're just doing terrible here, and Ron DeSantis, and this is not a partisan thing. I know I think I probably defend one side more than the other, but I don't have any skin in this game. I don't vote. I don't play anymore. I'm out. So I don't really care who wins. I'm just kind of trying to look at it from, I guess, you know, of course I have my own bias, my own perspective here, but the numbers are there. The data's here. People are scrambling to get here. Florida's been open really since September. And we keep hearing these gloom and doom scenarios that are going to be happening. And, oh my God, this is just going to be, oh my God, we're dying. He's killing us. And nothing happens. Now we got the vaccines rolling out. They're kicking ass. Getting these vaccines. Well, the people have to wait 2 hours for them. Well, that's basic economics. That's supply and demand. A lot of people want them. There's only so much manpower that we have. That's great that there's a 2.5 hour wait, because that means people are getting vaccinated. But it's just the most uncharitable framing. Well, they have to, reality is there and they have to wait. So it's going bad. What the hell are you talking about? I just look at this stuff and it's just nonsensical gibberish. But it's just how people live their lives. I don't know. 813-693-2124. So I think fatties should get the vaccine and be prioritized with seniors. Yes, they did it to themselves or eating all this crap, but yeah, I mean, that's what it's killing, right? If we're going after people, he said it in a clip, I don't care about what your economic status is. I care about if you're going to be a victim to this virus, and old people are. So they're getting first dibs. And if fatties are getting hit too, then they need to get the vaccine first with the olds. So I don't know. I'd be interested in how you feel about that. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. You know, the Tampa Bay Times is doing this too, with playing both sides here. You know, in one article, Bailey Lefevre says that Governor DeSantis has expanded vaccine access over the past couple of weeks to firefighters, teachers older than 50, and those 60 to 64. But some of those agencies are worried about the 1.8 million seniors still not vaccinated and will be left behind. 1 week ago, DeSantis dropped off 3,000 vaccines to a Pinellas senior community. But was that distribution fair? What? You're playing both sides of the equation here, folks. What am I missing? Who's at risk? Olds and fat. This is easy. But, you know, I don't like those guys. I don't like the red team. They're the bad guys. We're the good guys. Who said? We said. And that's the way it goes. I want to say thanks to Mr. PP Steve. PP Steve, listener of HMB Radio. First of all, he's like my PR man. He's up in Tennessee. I told him to leave a message because he wanted to leave a comment about the topic that Anna and I were talking about last week. And, I don't want anybody to know I'm a country bumpkin. I love country bumpkins. You're real America, Stevie. And don't you forget it. But he gave a very generous donation to HMB Radio, which you could do as well. HMBRadio.com/donate. You do not have to do that. Okay? But if you're enjoying this program, go ahead. That'd be awesome. You know, and I thank Steve profusely. He gave a very generous donation. Probably too much. But, you know, thank you. Again, Steve. So you hear this, you know, on the pod this week. That was very generous. Thank you. He's also my PR man. He's going to other shows. Monica Perez, who used to be up in Atlanta, now runs the Propaganda Report, I believe it is, podcast. And we follow each other on Twitter. I haven't really interacted with her very much, but he's trying to get me on her show. So thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. I would love to do that. That sounds fun. They're a fun group over there. So definitely willing to do that. And I appreciate, you know, the donation and getting my back, man. I need about 10,000 more of you, and I'll be set. But God bless. Thank you so much. Stickers. Still got some Johnny B Show stickers. I got some HMB Radio stickers, and I'll give you some regardless of your donation status. So if you haven't gotten one yet, let me know. I think the easiest way, my Radio St. Pete email is down right now. Not sure what's going on with that. So leave a text message for me at 813-693-2124. Send me your mailing address, your name, and I'll get some stickers out to you. Sound good? Great.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
All right, so fatties are getting vaccines.
Are they?
I think we can all agree on that. They should.
When are you getting yours?
What the H? I don't know. I saw another thing today that apparently chubsters do pretty good with COVID.
Do well in what regard? Like
if you're just on the cusp of being overweight.
Oh, so you're thick.
You
with
do
two C's.
Good. Yes.
Okay.
Which I consider myself.
I don't think being fat really helps you with anything unless you get poisoned with GHB, and I learned that from Tom Segura.
Here we go. Look, Business Insider. People on the cusp of being overweight have the lowest COVID-19 risk. How about them apples? Do you see them? I present them to you, and I offer you to suck them.
But it doesn't even say obese. It says on the cusp of overweight, which means like you're just thick with two C's.
That's what I am.
Thing. That's almost like a, huh?
I'm technically, I guess, obese, but I like to think of myself as thick.
You are a thick boy.
Yeah, B-O-I.
B-O-I, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're clinically obese, but like you present as like just like
I present
husky.
as thin.
What? No, you identify as
I identify,
thin.
Right, there you go. Sorry, I get all the words and lingo mixed up. Yes, but that is how I present.
You identify as a thin black woman.
Yes.
Of Hispanic origin.
Who's also gay.
Gay.
And bi.
Transitioning.
I saw on Tinder there was a woman who was both pansexual and straight. It had both listed.
Hold on. I get confused with pansexual and sapiosexual. Sapiosexual is I'm attracted to intelligence.
A mind. Pan apparently means and could be anybody.
Like Pangea is all of the land.
She's straight, but she's also could be attracted to anything. But then you're not really straight.
Can you just be bi?
That's what I thought it was.
But it's not just men and women. It's everything in between.
Everything. I think that's the difference.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't quite understand it. I don't understand how you can be straight and pan. I'm open to these discussions
because
they're not technically wrong.
You can be pan and straight, but doesn't necessarily mean you're straight and pan. You know what I mean?
Whoa, hang on a second. You can be pan and straight, but not...
But just because you're straight doesn't mean you're necessarily pan.
Well, sure, mm-hmm. Because you're straight.
Right.
So it goes by what's... But it still doesn't make sense.
One is more inclusive than the other.
Okay.
Like, if she could just say, I'm pan, and then end a story. It's redundant to say she's also straight. Does that make sense?
Well, it's not because you're discriminating if you're straight.
Right. But you could say if you're pansexual, you're straight and also not straight. Like if she was like, I'm straight, I'm gay. She said, I'm pan, I'm straight, I'm gay, I'm attracted to trans. Like if she just identified everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's redundant.
There's a fight going on online now because there's using the woke's lingo against them. Is a new thing. So there's this thing called super straight now that I saw. Super straight is you're only attracted to, oh my gosh, whatever you were assigned at birth.
The opposite.
If you're, right. So you're straight. So if you, but you can't transition because there's an argument now that if you don't sleep with a trans person, have sex with them, that you are transphobe and it's not gay. Because they're now a woman.
They've identified.
Or vice versa.
I understand. But, okay, man to woman, if you're with someone who was born male but is now considered identifies as a female, then they are a woman. And if you don't have sex with them because they're a trans woman, then you're a transphobe.
Then you're a bigot. Right. So now they're saying, well, no, I'm just super straight now. That's how I identify.
Okay.
And there's some freakouts taking place online about this. Now, they're just saying that's discriminatory, too, and bigoted, but...
I mean, but who are these people screaming? It's a small percentage of people on Twitter that are getting outraged,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But I know that's where you live, is the Twitter sphere.
No, not really. I don't really argue with anybody. You're just saying...
You don't argue, but you veer, you peer into the...
Oh, I look in every now and then. I look in. I use Twitter for news, and that's about it, and to plug this podcast and radio stuff, but I don't really engage on Twitter anymore because
no,
I'm afraid.
But you, like, Is Twitter your favorite social media platform?
No, it's Instagram.
Okay.
Because there's visuals there. There's people getting hurt. There's, you know, hot chicks. There's just a little bit of everything, you know, on Instagram.
Fatties. You like those a lot. You're always It's weird. He's always sending me these, like, weird dances, these TikTok dances of these enormous women, and oftentimes they're gorging themselves with donuts. It's very unpleasant, but Will often sends me these videos and photos. I don't appreciate it.
You're confusing me with you. Which is weird.
Oh,
but yeah, I get those. There's actually one that you sent me that I actually kind of like because it's just so ridiculous, and it's the one who has a oxygen in, and she's just a sphere. She is a complete. She's Humpty Dumpty, and she's got Humpty Dumpty with a oxygen thing in because she can't breathe because she's too fat. Yeah. Essentially,
I learned a new term yesterday, and I wonder if you know what it means, because I didn't know what it meant. Do you know what booby-doo is?
I've never heard that before, thank God. Never heard it in my life. I'm kind of mad that you're making me know it now, to be frank with you.
I was describing a woman, an archetype of a person who goes to Disney frequently, and I was asking my colleague, Lummy. I was describing someone, and I was asking him, is this the type of person you're talking about? Because he was talking about people who love to go to Disney. He knew a couple, and I decided to describe what they looked like without seeing a picture. And I said, was her stomach bigger than her boobies? Did it come out farther than her boobies?
Yeah, yeah.
And someone called in and said, that's called booby-doo.
Booby-doo. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So your stomach, I don't know if it's like your boobies are making a doo-doo on your stomach. I don't know what it is.
Probably just your stomach farther out than your booby-doo.
Well, the booby-doo is the complex.
Right.
Yeah.
But it comes from that.
Yeah.
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 That phrase.
That's apparently what it's called, is when the stomach goes out farther than the breasts.
Right.
It's called booby-doo.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So
everybody goes to Disney. I don't like it. I don't like these people that don't have children that just flock to Disney. And I have a lot of friends who are into it. People that I truly adore. There's my friend. Oh, I don't want to say her name. But she goes. And they just go with like their 30s, and they go with friends, and they don't have kids, and they wear the ears and everything. And I just, it's enraging.
And everyone knows this, and especially.
But I really like this. This isn't somebody who, I mean, she's one of my favorite people on the planet.
I think I know who it is. I won't say it though.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you afterwards if you want to know.
I'm pretty sure.
I
think what's even more alarming, I kind of get it a little bit more so for women. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's more okay than, I mean, there are some people that we know in our, or at least used to be in our sphere of people we know that went to Disney by himself without children, although he has children, and he would go and just like hang out, maybe Epcot, maybe not. And also if you're a man over the age of, I don't know, 16 and you're wearing the ears, I find that to be problematic. If you're wearing the ears, that is alarming. You should be checked at the door. If you're over 30 years of age as a man and you are going to Disney by yourself,
with one exception, which is if you're there with your family and everybody's
by yourself.
If you're going by yourself, you should be shot.
I mean, at the very least, but you should also be checked at the door. Why are you here? What are your intentions? Are you here to molest kids?
Oh, I remember who you're talking about now. Yes.
It's not the place for grown adults, especially by themselves.
But it is. That's the thing. Disney's become a really inclusive place for everything, which is nice to have those type of places. But let's be honest, Disney's for kids. People are enraged about Disney Plus. If you have Disney Plus and you don't have kids, you should be institutionalized. Something's severely wrong with you. I mean, get Netflix. What is wrong with you? You want to watch Dumbo? You can't even watch Dumbo. Dumbo's gone now because it's racist or something. I don't know.
Feel like, and this is just a theory I've concocted. I could be wrong. I'm probably not, though. I think that people who have horrible adult lives but had good childhoods often revert back to, they're very much obsessed with things that they liked when they were younger. So
okay, that's interesting.
They hit adulthood. Maybe they had kids too early.
Find comfort.
Maybe they made some bad decisions. Not necessarily like they're in prison or doing drugs or anything, but like they ended up being losers as adults, and they peaked when they were like kids. And they really harp on the days when they had no responsibility. You know, they don't like being accountable. They don't like going to work. They don't like being responsible. And they harp on this time when they didn't have to be any of those things. And it was okay.
Mm.
I think people like that who have an aversion to adulthood and adulting, as we say, as a verb, I think those people often are very much obsessed with like things that they enjoyed when they were 7, 8, 9 years old. They like can't give it up. It's like, to me, I had a phenomenal childhood, like almost the best that one could have. Like, I wasn't molested. I wasn't touched. I wasn't really made fun of that much, a little bit, but you know, nothing too bad. I had friends. I wasn't a loner. I did sports. I did dance. I did track. Like, I did all of these things. I had a beautiful, a lovely family. This is before my parents got divorced. Everything seemed to be going pretty well. And I have no desire to like watch movies I watched when I was a kid. That doesn't, I'll be like, oh man, I remember that. But it's a very fleeting moment. I don't want to spend all day watching like The Little Mermaid, Pocahontas, things I liked when I was a kid. That's not,
it's so rampant. Even 10 years ago, I was the only one of my friends that didn't see Harry Potter. We're in our 20s at this point, and they're going to the movies and reading the books. I'm like, hey, guys, this is a kid's book.
But did they read the book and then they wanted to see the movie later? Like, it was one of those things?
Or? I don't know. It was just a phenomenon, you know, worldwide, and they weren't the only ones. I mean, that's a huge franchise. Yeah. But it was written by a lady who wanted to, like, I guess, read her own stories to her kid, like baby.
Yeah.
Little kid. So she made this story about wizards, and it's just, it found a mass appeal, and it was just, our culture is so infantilized.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't find that to be as bad, just because it seems to be like a good story. Like, I read the first one and then I just quit, but the imagery was really great. It was like a really engaging novel or series of novels, so... But at least that, I mean, that's just going to, I don't know. But I feel like Disney is way different. The commute, the whole experience, the fact that there's nothing more or nothing sadder to me than seeing a beta pee-whipped man with his wife, fiance, girlfriend being forced to wear matching shirts and ears at Disneyland.
I don't think a lot of them are forced. I think a lot of them like it. They're all into it. That might be worse. Yeah. I mean, there probably is some of that, but I would say the majority are like into it. They go to that's their thing. They go to Disney and they drink and
like, how can you give someone like a mouth hug after that? How can you be I mean, I guess they're into it, so it's like their little kind of weird fetish.
Yeah.
But like, I can't imagine going. And I mean, if you're going to Epcot or something, you're doing food and wine festival. That's
different. That's different.
I'm talking about we're doing the rides and we're, you know, talking to Mickey and taking and having like tea with the characters, like stuff like that. That is for the children.
Mm-hmm.
There's something not right there.
Something not right there. And I don't. Maybe it's past the point of, you know, couples. There's bed death with a lot of different couples. So maybe they don't really engage like that anymore in don't have that sort of intimacy. And then said they replace that with Disney, where they go to Disney now and they don't mess around at Disney. It's just like a
almost
buddy.
Like they're two asexual human beings. Yeah. That got together,
mm-hmm.
Have very low sex drives. And they're just like, this is our thing now. We go to Disney as adults. We wear the ears. We wear the matching shirts.
Yeah.
You know, we wear the ankle socks. We wear the cargo shorts.
Uh-huh.
We wear the oversized t-shirts.
Yeah.
We have, in terms of, like, the women, I imagine a woman who's a bit portly, not too obese, but, like, low-key obese. She has an extended forehead. The hairline is receding back, but she was just born that way.
Always wears a ponytail.
Mousy, like, brown hair, but yeah. Not like a rich brown, like a dull, almost gray brown, straight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a ponytail, correct. Thin hair.
Uh-huh.
Thin hair, pasty white skin, but it's burnt, you know, because she's in the sun all day walking around. She has a farmer's tan.
Yeah.
The man is obviously wearing cargo shorts.
Yeah, New Balances.
New Balances with
white socks showing, yeah.
The Teva sandals, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Where you're like Moses sort of a thing, sort of shoe.
Mm-hmm.
The oversized t-shirts, and I feel like an aggressive nips, like you can kind of see through the shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, and you're wearing a white shirt.
Gold chain out of the shirt.
Yes.
Thin gold chain.
Slightly visible through the neckline.
Right. And maybe like a, not a straw hat, but kind of a fedora-y hat that's made out of some sort of straw material. Yes.
Also, you have the glasses that you're wearing. They convert into sunglasses when you walk into the sun all of a sudden.
The transition lenses.
Transition lenses.
Wow. I think we described a good amount of the people who go there.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying to me just before we started that we were talking about social media and how I'm afraid of saying anything anymore. And you obviously have firsthand experience with running your mouth and or running your fingers on the internet and trying to make a joke and it not coming out right. And now you're kind of free from that at your current role, which is nice. I'm not. So did I tell you that the Bone does a death pool thing, and one of their picks is who on the Bone will not be there.
Not necessarily anymore. Dead.
Not dead.
But it won't work.
I don't know if they get extra points if you actually die, but that would be a good idea. Who won't work there anymore, essentially in an on-air position, and they pick somebody. You know, and I got picked by a person and
show.
Yeah. Somebody else wanted to pick me. And they said, well, just out of curiosity, why do you think Will is not going to be here? And the guy said, well, just I think he's just going to get another job somewhere and move on. And the guy that asked said, well, I think he's going to get fired because of his Twitter. And I was like, oh, my butt kind of puckered up a little bit
after I got fired.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I say wild, I used to say really wild stuff on there, and it was mostly a joke. Some things weren't jokes, but most of them were, or dramatized at least, and I hope that can shown through, but not always, because you don't have tone, so sometimes people read it how they want to read it, and it could come out. So I don't tweet anymore, but you said that you will engage from time to time, that you don't really do stuff on social media, but sometimes you just can't help yourself and you engage.
Well, I never engage because it's a losing battle. I've never in my, how long has social media been around? So I probably 05, say, so what, 16 years? I've never seen one person ever go, that's a good point. You changed my mind. Like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's all about defending your point of view. And I've gotten into it with people before and it's silly. It's stupid. But when I'm very much like a voyeur when it comes to social media. I like to see what's out in the ether. I like to see what's kind of on the fringes of culture, both sides, right and left and middle, whatever. So I like to follow the super left. Like, they're fun on social media. First of all, because I just get a self-esteem boost because I'm like, I'm almost at the F word. I'm hot. I'm a mod. I'm a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow this one... Baby, it's I don't she. It, they,
you don't know
the
what her pronouns
are. They them.
Okay.
The pronouns are they them. I born XX double X. I don't even know if I can say female.
Okay.
But I follow her. She is comfy fat travels on Instagram.
Okay. Great.
I enjoy her. Them. They.
Is she
language is so hard to like describe.
It's not hard. They make it hard on purpose.
Yeah.
Are they them because technically it's more than one person by weight?
Might as well be. But this person goes by the name of Jay. So very ambiguous gender wise. They are in a relationship with a queer woman. So identifies as a woman, but just threw the queer in there because maybe she won't in the future. I don't know. But they, them is gender non-binary. That's okay. What they, them identifies as.
Sure.
Comfy fat travels.
Makes sense.
So she was writing some stuff about my favorite thing that they've been talking about as a couple is how doctors are fat phobic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a problem that there is a global pandemic. Suicide rates are through the roof. People are dying from their addiction to opioids. You know, abuses through the roof. Nobody has money. Inflation is going to take place. All these other issues. We're going into Syria. They don't seem to be bothered by any of that stuff. But doctors are fat phobic when you walk in and they go, we need to put you on like the cargo weight scale. This is a problem. You need to lose weight. They say you're fat phobic and that's discriminatory and I'm getting a new doctor.
Okay, bye.
I'm fascinated by this.
They must be so relieved when they say, I'm out of here. And they go, no, don't. Oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Which is so interesting to me because if you would think that if you went to doctor after doctor after doctor and they say this is a problem for your health, I'm a health physician. My job is to make you your healthiest version of yourself. It's interesting for me to say, well, why are you even going to the doctor if they're trying to treat your ailments, your conditions, whatever, and they're telling you this is a way for you to improve your health, and they say you need to lose weight, and then they're being discriminatory. Like, to me, that's fun. Like, to me, why are you going to the doctor? The whole point
because they want somebody in a position of authority to indulge their delusions.
Right.
And that's the thing. And once they get somebody that says, oh, yeah, you're good, they're going to be like, see? And now they'll have proof. They know that that's not true. Obviously, it's not true. Mm-hmm. In any context, having extra, being obese is the main thing that will kill you early. You don't see a bunch of 70-year-old fat people. Rarely do you see somebody who's in their 70s or 80s and are fat.
It's very much ever. Like AIDS. I mean, yes, it'll kill you in and of itself, but typically it's like you get diabetes or you have, you get heart disease or even cancer or whatever the case may be. It erodes your health in many ways. Kidney failure, liver failure, all these things become compounded. It becomes a worse problem. Or sleep apnea, whatever it may be. Oh, but you can be skinny and get sleep apnea. Yeah, I know, but most of the time that's not the case.
It's not the pattern, right? There's always outliers, and they always point to these outliers, and you go, well, that's not the pattern,
You could be anorexic and unhealthy. Yeah,
yeah,
I know, and no one is applauding those people. No one is saying, wow, you look great. People go, God, that girl's in problem.
She's dying.
Yeah, and I heard this other chick talking about, like kids these days complaining about stuff, and she was, like, just making a joke, but she said, like, you girls these days, like Gen Z, you get to live in a world where there's, like, high-waisted pants. People are telling you to, like, do squats so you can get a bigger butt. Being thick is a good thing. She's like, when I was a kid, like, a millennial, you know, we had to make our butts like disappear. We, you know, the low-waisted jeans were in style. So it was like everyone had muffin tops and stuff like that. So it's like now I feel like health is really on the right track in terms of like the people that we are idolizing in terms of how they look. Not the super skinny models, but
is this
kind of going
is this
style.
You or her talking right now?
Who?
Is this you or her talking that we're on the right path as far as health goes now?
Me.
Really? Because I think I disagree with that. There's a lot of people who, well, I'd say it's split. There's, maybe not split even. Maybe I'm just getting confused with social media. But there is a huge uprising in this fat phobia thing and this you're healthy size.
But
and
I'm
all
saying
that.
In terms of the people, like forget about that community for just a second. But generally speaking, like with people who are trying to improve their bodies, not the people who are talking about fat phobia, but the people that we are kind of idolizing in terms of the way that they look, a lot of them have unrealistic, you know, there's body expectations, but there's no more, you rarely see twiggies anymore. You see girls with like curves, with boobs, with butts, with, you know, that, and those are embraced. And I see so many more girls lifting weights than I did 10 years ago, trying to get a booty, trying to work on your back muscles, trying to like gain muscle. That was not really the case a while ago. You know, it was like, how thin can you be, you know? Mm. And that's sure, that's if you get into high fashion.
Where does that come from? Because it's not, who decides what beauty is? There was that, and you're right, in the 90s, there was that heroin chic look where it was like you had to look
Kate
like
Moss.
The... Yeah, and there was that other famous one who...
Fiona Apple kind of look.
Yeah, where you just look like you're cracked out and super thin. I mean, I was a young man at that point, so I don't know if I was into girls, really, but that's not, like, hot. With supermodels back then, I look at... That's not attractive.
No, and I had a... And I
but who decides that?
We've talked about this before, but... It was, I took this anthropology course and the professor said that gay men were really the ones driving that.
Right. Yep.
Because
yep.
They were attracted to like the models that you would see in high fashion had boy like figures,
mm-hmm.
almost like a one ratio, waist hip ratio. So not a lot of like curvy women, not like small waist, big hips. It was all kind of like straight up and down, no breasts, just kind of lanky, tall. That was always what women aspired to look like.
Because they thought that's what men like.
If you looked at Vogue, if you looked at, I don't know, other high fashion magazines that were geared towards women, they all looked like that. You looked at Hustler, you looked at Playboy, you have a completely different story.
Way different. Yeah.
Busty women, women with butts. That's what
But women aren't, and that's what men want, but women aren't reading those magazines. They're reading Vogue and Cosmopolitan. I don't know. Do women read Cosmopolitan? I don't know.
I didn't think Vogue read Vogue. Magazines anymore, but.
Yeah, but back, you know, back in the 90s, or so they were chasing after this look that was not desirable, that nobody really liked. Now, men are not immune to, they'll still pursue you. Like, men are gross, so they'll be like, people will be lining up to have sex with those women. Yeah. I mean, probably including me. However, it's not something that there's a body type that I prefer much more, which tends to be somebody with a little bit more
meat on them. Yeah. Yeah. You want to look, I think that people have always most of the time been drawn to health, you know, and health is a spectrum, right? I mean, and the argument or the engagement I got on social media when I started asking questions to this person who was accusing doctors of being fatphobic, I got lots of replies on what I said, but, I think that most people are attracted to healthy bodies. And then they try to make it seem like health is subjective, even though there's variability.
Everything's subjective and on a spectrum, yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay, well, yes, there's variability in health. Like, you could be a thinner person or a thicker person and be in a healthy spectrum. But if I see an anorexic person and I see a person who's 600 pounds, both of those people are very unhealthy, unhealthy. And you don't need to be a doctor. They're like, do you have credentials? I'm like, much like you always say, I'm like, I have eyeballs.
I have eyeballs, right. I can see. And the people have a really hard time with, and this isn't anything, two bad options. So they'll compare, do the whataboutism with anything.
Yeah.
And pick one that it's a better option when both are bad.
Right.
They can't come to their brains won't allow them to be like, well, both of these are terrible options. And if you have to pick one, you have to pick one. But both are bad.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to get that through their head. But you had a good point about keeping it interrogative. Ask questions. That's the best way to have any sort of dialogue on in your personal life. And if you're going to engage on any sort of social media, God bless you. It's a waste of time.
Totally.
There was something I couldn't resist either the other day, which is they're trying not to get into politics too much, but one of the guys who works for the city, I used to do the city's podcast for, he's talking about getting rid of the filibuster. Now, if that happens and they get their way on that, and then it will just be a simple majority in the Senate and all these bills will get passed, eventually, maybe, the other opposing party would come into power, in quotes, and say, for example, ban abortion federally by a simple majority. And they would have a conniption about this. They don't think that far ahead, though. And I said that to him. I was like, are you at all worried about, you know, that taking place, that scenario? He goes, well, no more than, you know, the Supreme Court's already a mess. You know, we have this court that's, first of all, no, we don't. What has the court done? Nothing. It's not. Not made any big rulings that I can think of.
If things are constitutional or not.
Yeah.
But
they were worried that, with these judges in, that abortion is going to be banned, and it's not banned yet. So, but whatever. And also, that court was put in place by Harry Reid getting rid of a filibuster in the Senate or some sort of rule in the Senate. And so they used that not being there anymore to get that court to begin with.
Right.
So it came back and I said, well, be careful. You know, you might get what you wish for. And he didn't bother saying anything else, which is fine. I don't want to fight with anybody.
Oh no, I don't like fighting.
Yeah.
I like engaging though.
But I am curious. Like sometimes are you thinking this through? Are you really thinking about it? Cause I have a feeling most people aren't. They're just rushing to whatever narrative is better for them at the time.
Right. Well, what I like to do on Comfy Fat Travels is Instagram, because she's a big on the doctors are fatphobic. They like to talk about when people post about losing weight that you shouldn't like compliment them, because then you're encouraging a culture of thinness or promoting a culture of thinness, and that's not what we should be doing, because that in itself is fatphobic. Even if the person themselves is proud of themselves and is posting pictures because they want people to comment on their bodies, you shouldn't comment on their bodies, because in the event that someone who is not losing weight either hears you, if you say it in person or, you know, sees it online, then they themselves will feel bad about their own bodies. And that's not okay, because we have to worry about not only the person who it's directed to, but everybody else that might accidentally come across it. So she would, and again, this, I think that this is just, it's so funny to me because they're all about science, right? They're all about climate change. Yep. They're all about, many of them are not religious, which is funny because that's, I'm not religious. But they talk about science and everything. But then when it comes to health, they, all of that goes out the window.
Yeah. Well, it's, they pick and choose, certainly.
It's,
no doubt
it's
about
very
it.
I find it very interesting. It's, what do you call it? It's a defense mechanism. It's the brain protecting itself. Because God forbid they are right and I am dying, then that's really troubling, A, and B, that's going to be a lot of work to change. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather just stay the way that I am, promote that it's okay, and that you're actually in the wrong for telling me that I'm fat or that I need to lose weight when you're the healthcare practitioner.
Yeah.
So it's like you're the expert. You went to, like, I'm going to you because you're an expert in something. You tell me something I don't want to hear, and instead of saying, you know what? I need to change myself. You go, nope, you're wrong. I'm going to somebody else. What doctor is going to tell you that you being 500 pounds is okay? And they're like, you don't. And then when I engage, I just ask a lot of questions. I go, well, I think it's just, you know, good to promote like health. That doesn't necessarily mean thin.
But they deny that. I mean, on its face. And I think the way to handle that is to deny their arguments. We need to split up. I really think that we've gone too far in this, and there is completely different cultures in this country, two separate ones. And I think it's time that there's no reasoning with it. There's an approved narrative that press puts out, and then, you know, we're on the side that's not approved. And I think we need to agree to disagree and split up, go our own ways, maybe. Because otherwise it's going to get bloody.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, I'd rather just comment on fat phobia. On
well,
Instagram.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just saying that it's you know, a waste of time just because they will reject what you say on its face.
This wasn't to change minds and hearts. This was just for me to have a little bit of fun on a Tuesday night.
Right.
But I was just, it's interesting to see, like, I want them to expose their arguments. Because if you just call them a fat POS, people are just going to attack you for being mean. I don't want to be mean, but I just want to ask questions to make sure, like, I fully understand where you're coming from. And then, of course, everybody that liked my comment was kind of hot. And then everybody that didn't was like, you know, an alien from Mars kind of looking with purple hair. And, you know,
yeah. Yep.
So, which is fine, but, you know, interesting the fact that it's like I don't have to change.
That's the problem.
I am.
That is the problem right now. There used to be a time where you'd have some sort of introspection and look inward and see how you can change things and what you're doing that's wrong. And now we're told that it can't possibly be you, that it's the outside world that needs to change because you are special and you are unique and the world should bend to your whims. Did you ever watch The Office?
Yeah.
So there was a scene where Jim asked Michael was dressed up in a fat suit, actually, I think. And he had said, you know, Jim said, you keep saying that everybody else is the problem, but maybe you're the problem. And he goes, well, if I'm the problem, then it's society that made me that way. And Jim just kind of goes, that's kind of brilliant in a way. I mean, it's nonsense, obviously. It's a joke. It's a comedy show, but that is kind of the attitude that people have. That if I'm the problem, then it's society that made me that way. So it's a never-ending cycle. And there's no navigating that. There's no talking that out. That's why I think we just need to go our own ways here at this point, because there's two different cultures.
If you want to get into it with someone on social media, act dumb, be inquisitive, and just kind of pick their brains about stuff. And then always end every statement you make with a question mark. Right? Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what I was doing just for fun. You know, is it okay that, you know, sometimes it's healthy to lose weight, but then also to do the opposite, go, sometimes it's healthy to gain weight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're too thin and the doctor will tell you, you know, you need to gain weight. That's okay, right? Because that's, you know, you're getting bigger. That's great. I see a lot of
What do they say with that when you do
that? They ignore the part about gaining, and they just look at the part. Well, that's really promoting a thinness culture, and you're being fat phobic, which is like, to me, that's total. I can conceptualize that. It's really when they go to a doctor because they're having a problem related to their weight,
yeah.
And the doctor says lose weight, and they say you're a bad person. You're fat phobic. It's like your joints. Like they're like, I have joint pain. It's I have sleep apnea, and I'm 24. It's like, yeah, no S. So anyways,
yeah,
I enjoy that. I like seeing that.
Yeah, you need an anti-gravity chamber yeah. to get into. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. That's how you get a hold of the program. You can reach me directly at home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. I'd encourage you to do so. Facebook, HMB Radio. And Radio St. Pete is pretty much just Radio St. Pete on everything. And with that, it's time to go. Time to turn it over. Frank Rivera is up next if you're listening on Radio St. Pete and Sunshine FM. He's got some nice jazz music for you. And if you're listening on podcast, thank you so much. Please do tell a friend about it and subscribe, because there's other things that appear on that feed that may not be right here on Radio St. Pete from time to time. My name is Will Kuntz. Thank you, Anna Hummel. We'll talk to you next week. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete and Sunshine, 96.7 FM. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.